Well, it's a special day, very special weekend, and I'm just so grateful for what this day represents and what God's doing in our church, in the life of our church. And if you were here last week for Easter, you probably got a little glimpse of kind of who I am personally when I would say that I'm the kind of person that's always looking forward. And to be quite honest, sometimes I'm really terrible about stopping to look behind me. I don't know if any of you are like that, but I'm just so wired to achieve and to accomplish more that I've got my sight set ahead. And listen, that can be both a blessing and a curse if you're like that. The blessing of it is that if you're wired like that, that you can accomplish things, that you're always pushing forward with vision. And I will say that one of the reasons why our church is really the way it is today is because just had this passion and vision of moving forward. But there's also a shadow side. There's a curse to that. And the curse is that you are the kind of person that never stops and reflects on all the good things that God has done. And it can be so easy to kind of just push forward and never just take a moment to stop and look backwards and say, wow, God, look at all the things that you have done. And I think it's important that when we're in life and we're moving forward, that we're looking ahead to a finish line. I'm all about that. I feel like we're all running a race, as Paul said, and we all have a purpose and a mission, and we're moving toward it. But I also know this, that sometimes runners, when they're in a race, sometimes they need mile markers. You know, sometimes they'll put mile markers up when you're running a marathon, tell you, hey, you're at mile 18, you're at mile 20. Can I just tell you, sometimes you need mile markers in your life. Maybe you haven't gotten to the finish line, but it's a reminder, look how far you've come. And I think today for me feels like a mile marker. This is not the finish line. Please hear me when I say that, church. This is not the finish line. We're not celebrating the end of something. We are just celebrating a mile marker, 20 years of God's faithfulness, 20 years of what God has done in and through this community. And so today, this is my heart. I just want to brag on God a little bit, if that's okay. I don't want to brag on X Church. I'm not here to go, look at us, and look how great, and look what we built, look what we've done. No, I want to stop and brag on God. I want to brag on His goodness to us. I want to brag on what God has done to change lives, to make an impact in Central Ohio through this community that you and I are a part of. And so today, it's not about me. It's not about just any of us, but it is collectively what God is doing in the church and in this church. And so what I'd like to do is just celebrate a little bit what God has done over the past 20 years. And I'll just share a few kind of interesting numbers and then some things that we can celebrate together. I went back and kind of was looking up and I thought, how long is 20 years when you're doing church every single weekend with a couple weekends here and there that we're not doing it? And I realized that we've been doing church, if you've been around from the beginning, over 1,023 weekends that we've been doing church. That's a long time. Can I just tell you, I feel really old right now. I've preached a lot in those times, and I'm just kind of blown away when I think about how long it really is. I did some funny math of like, hey, how long is that in minutes? And I realized that we've been a church and having church. I'm just talking about the times when we get together for church, over 225,000 minutes of church that we've been doing. That's a long time if you've been around since the beginning, but it's also a reminder to me of what God can do when you plant your life in something and you're just consistent and faithful year after year. You don't realize how it's adding up what God is doing when He deposits something in your life. And so there's something really cool about just being consistent and faithful. 225,000 minutes of church and going. We've been trying to track probably since 2009 is when we got an actual church management database where we, you know, would track people as they come in and we meet them and try to use that to help caring for families in our church. And so this is actually a really, really short number. It doesn't have the first few years, but of all the active and inactive people, we have been able as a church to serve more than 24,000 people, unique people in Central Ohio since really 2009. And those are just the people that tell us. My guess is that's way over 30,000. That's, you know, sometimes I'm kind of blown away when I think we just started out of some little church to know that many people have walked through the doors of our church have maybe been touched and impacted by the people and the message and what God's doing in this house. That's just kind of blows me away. One of these numbers that I love is how much of an impact our church has been able to make on the community around us, not just what we do when we gather, but when we go beyond the walls. And so if you've been around our church, we do something every year called EXO Week, where we have 1 week where our whole church serves our community. That also started about 2009, first called Servolution, and then it was called Impact Week, and it's changed names over the years. We tabulated all of that. We have, as a church, served over 26,761 hours of community service. And it's way more than that. That doesn't include all of the ongoing community outreach projects that happen throughout the year, but that's just even that 1 week when we get together and we serve. And I think it's important for a church not just to exist for itself, but to exist to change the community around it. And so that's one of the reasons why we believe so much in that. A couple other numbers that I think are just awesome. As a church, we've had an opportunity to help people take their next steps in water baptism. And we've seen 1,898 people get baptized here at this church. That's a lot of people. Actually, it's 1,899 because we got to baptize Duncan today, which I thought that was kind of special because he wasn't even born, but his parents were going to our church, and then he came along, and he's growing up in our kids' ministry, and he's coming to know Jesus. This is a multi-generational church. This isn't just for us. It's for your kids. It's for grandkids. I have to say that now that I got one coming. It's for grandkids, too. I used to always say to people, I look at them like when they're my age, and I say, listen, we don't build this church for you. I'm not building this church for you. I'm building this church for your kids. Now I got to say, I'm building this church for your grandkids. I'm getting so old. Let me tell you this. We also have had the privilege, I think, to come alongside people who are just searching, and they're spiritually wandering and searching and trying to find hope in Christ. And we've had the opportunity to be able to lead 6,244 people to place their faith in Jesus Christ in 20 years as a church. Over 6,200 people that have taken a step into eternity, that their lives have been changed, their kids have been changed. Listen, forever changed because of what many of you have done in serving and being planted and giving and being a part of what God's doing here. Come on, let's celebrate that. That's so cool. I think about the generational trees that are growing off from that, that are forever changed because someone in that family said yes to Jesus. And I was reflecting on all of this week. I took some time as I'm going through old pictures and video and memories are coming back. That's kind of what I did this past week. And it took me back to the very beginning where we had such a small team. I mean, it was just a few of us. I like to say it was a few of us bringing our few loaves of bread and fish to Jesus and saying, we have a heart and a desire to reach people. We don't know how to do it, but if we put it in your hands, what will happen? And I don't know that I could have ever imagined even where we are today and all the things that God has done in our church with just a few. In fact, we had 9 adults and 3 kids. I have a picture of our team when we got started. 9 adults and 3 kids. And I was counting them. And I thought to myself, that's it. All we had were 12 people. I thought, what can you do with only 12 people? I thought, you can't do much with 12 people, right? And then I thought about Jesus and how he had how many disciples? 12 disciples that he unleashed in Acts chapter 1 and 2 to go and change the world, and that you and I are a part of that same church that started with a small beginning. I think about scripture says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Some of you might be starting a business. Some of you might be in the infancy stage of something in your life, maybe of your faith. Can I just tell you, do not despise the small beginnings, those little moments that feel like that's not much. Can I just tell you, if you put it in God's hands, he can do something with it. He can bless it. He can multiply it. And our little team, a lot of family and friends that really got started. And I don't know, for those of you who are newer, but I wanted to pause and just take a moment and publicly thank some special people. But my wife's parents, when they contacted us after being missionaries in Russia for 5 years, they said, we would love to start a church. We feel God leading us to do that. And God was doing something in me and my wife at the time. And they said, you want to start a church with us? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. We all felt this. God was pulling us into this purpose. And I just want to pause for a moment and recognize the progenitors of this church. Can I just say, without Bob and Denise and really their heart and passion and vision and allowing a young, raw, inexperienced guy to pastor this church, it would not be here today. And so I just want to ask my wife's parents to stand up. And I just want us to take a moment, and we want to honor you, and we want to say thank you. Come on, church. This church would not be here without them. I need you to know that. And so thank you, guys. Thank you. And Luann, Bob's sister, is here. She was in the original picture. And it's pretty amazing to think about what God can do with just a little bit. And I was going back through pictures and looking, and I realized a lot has changed in 20 years. The building looks different. The experience is probably a little different. I'm different. I mean, looking at these pictures, some staff said about me and my wife, they're like, you guys glowed up. My goodness. And that's a good thing, I guess. You know, we're just reflecting on all the things that has changed over the years. But as I was doing that, at the same time, I'm also realizing that there are some things that haven't changed, that there are some things that have been the bedrock of this church. And as I was reflecting on just what has been consistent over the last 20 years, there were four kind of key, unique things that really stood out to me that have become like a reflector of the heart of this church. You know, I think just like every person has a personality, I think every church kind of has a personality. It's a uniqueness. And there's four kind of characteristics that I think define this church over the last 20 years, and I'll share this with you. The first one is this. We, from the beginning to now, have always been mission-minded. We have always been focused on the mission of what it means to be a church. The one thing our team said when we got started is that we do not want to be a social club for the saints, but we want to be a hospital for the hurting and for the hopeless and the broken and the destitute and the searching. And let me just tell you, that has not changed. I want to be a community that is thriving, but I do not want to be some kind of elite social club that kind of closes off, because I've seen that happen in church life. What we will be is it will always be a church that has our arms open for those who are desperate for God, those who have no faith, those who are struggling, those who are at the end of their rope. We want to always be that. That's why one of the values that has persisted is this one. We say it around here, that the gospel is our priority. The good news of Jesus is our priority. That means we'll say no to a lot of other things. I get people ask me all the time, are you gonna start this? Are you gonna begin a school? Are you gonna launch this? And I go, nope. Because they think every church is growing should just do all those things. And I say, nope, we're not gonna do all those things. You know why? Because God has called us to keep the main thing, and that is we're gonna focus on sharing the good news of Jesus so that we can celebrate like we did from last weekend, Easter, 155 people raising their hands, saying yes to Jesus. We will always keep the main thing, because here's what I know about the church. Jesus, when he started the church, he said, I'm gonna build my church, and he gave his disciples a great commission. He said, I'm gonna send you into the world, and you're gonna make disciples. You're gonna make disciples of me, and you're gonna baptize them in my name, and you're gonna teach them to follow me. Can I just tell you, that's what our heart's desire is as a church, to make disciples, to lead people into relationship with Jesus. In fact, in our church, we have a real simple mission statement, and for those of you that are newer, this will be an opportunity for you to really capture the heart of this church. Our mission statement is this: helping people get on the path to God. Why don't you all say it with me? Because I felt like some of you are already wanting to. You just want to say it with me. So why don't we all say it together? Our mission is helping people get on the path to God. Here's what that means. In your life and in my life, I can think back. I would not be following Jesus if there weren't people in my life that helped me. I can think about my experience in church and youth and my wife's parents that were a significant part of that. I can think of all of the people that helped me get on the path to God. But here's the worst attitude you could ever get, is to think that your life is all about you. It's not. The moment you get onto that path, you get purpose. You have reason for living. All of a sudden, life starts to come up and you realize that God's gonna use you to do something significant. What is that significant thing? You help somebody else get on the path to God. You invite somebody else. You bring somebody else with you. You let God use your story to change someone else's life. That's what the call of following Jesus is all about. And so I wanna take a moment today and I wanna say thank you. I wanna say thank you to every single one of you that you invite, you bring people, you tell your family and your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people you see at the restaurants, you gotta come to church, you gotta come to, here has always been my heart. I wanna have a church that I would be so proud I would invite anybody to come to church with me. And I feel like we have a church like that. I feel like we have a church. So we have been mission-minded. Everybody say mission-minded. We are mission-minded. The other thing I've seen over the last 20 years is I've seen that we have a selfless spirit. A selfless spirit. I really believe that the reason why God has done the things he's done and the number of lives that have been impacted, it's not because of me. It's because of us. It's because of the collective, the body of Christ, the church. There's no one part that is more significant than any other part. And I love this quote by Pastor Brian Houston. It's beautiful. He says this, "Great churches aren't built on the gifts and the talents of a few, but on the sacrifices of the many." Can I just tell you that what God has done in this church is not just because of me, but it's because we have hundreds and over the years, thousands of servant leaders that serve. They get up early, they show up, they stay late, they teach kids so that somebody else can have an opportunity to hear the gospel. They're investing in middle school students and high school students. They're helping somebody come into the room when it's dark because they came in a little bit late and they don't know how to find their seat. I'm telling you, this church is what it is, not because of me, but because of all of you. And every single weekend when you serve, when you are teaching some kid about who Jesus is in their environment, guess what? A mom or a dad is getting introduced to Jesus in this environment. Every weekend when you hold the door open, when you look at someone and you say, "God loves you and I'm so glad you're here," you have no idea that that person might have been thinking about killing themselves that week. And you are the person that God used to bring hope into their life in that moment. You need to understand that. What God is doing in this place is not because of me. It's not what happens on the platform. It's what happens in the community. And so I wanted to take a moment because I'm so appreciative today, and I think our church should be. And I want to say that if you are a servant leader or a circle leader, I want you to stand up today, and we want to honor you. We want to just say thank you for all you do. If you're a servant leader, if you're a circle leader, stand up, stand up. Come on. If you do outreach, come on, stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just looking around. Thank you, guys. This kind of experience does not happen because of a couple. It happens because there are scores of people, hundreds that do. And can I just also maybe use this as a moment to encourage and maybe inspire or maybe even challenge some of you that you just come to church and you love this church and you get a lot out of this church and you enjoy your experience at this church. I appreciate that. I love that. That's what we're here for. But can I tell you, something begins to change the moment you get up from your seat and you push away from the table and you begin to serve someone else. I'll tell you what happens. Let me just tell you, this will begin to feel like your church the moment you start serving. It'll feel like, this is my church. I'm a part of what God's doing. I get to have a small part in 6,244 people coming to Christ. I get to have a small part in 1,900 people getting baptized. I get to have a small part in every testimony and story that happens. That happens when you step into it. And so I just invite you, if you're new, maybe you've been coming, maybe now it's time to jump in. Have a selfless spirit, because that's what we do. We have a selfless spirit. Let's all say it together. We have a selfless spirit. The third characteristic I've seen over and over and over is I have seen displayed radical generosity. Just crazy radical generosity. I have seen people invest not just their time and their energy, but their money, their finances, being generous. I mean, talking over and above. Do you realize that this space that we get to enjoy right now and that God is using to continue to see lives being changed, the seat that you have now, you have because somebody else sacrificed so that you could sit there. I hope you realize that. If you just started coming in the last couple of years here, I just need you to know that someone sacrificed so that you could be here. And I think about our journey throughout the years, and we kind of went through it in a documentary, but just when our team and our small church felt like in 2008, like, we've got to have another space. We need a new location. We had to raise $125,000 with just a small team. I mean, that might as well have been $1 million. It felt impossible, but we went after it. And people gave, and they sacrificed. There was people that had money they were saving for a vehicle, money they were saving for a trip. We had a college student that gave $5,000. Shocked me. I thought, I didn't know college students had any money. I thought they were all broke. $5,000, how'd you get that, you know? And people just gave, and miraculously, God provided so that we could take that next step because of radical generosity. And it just kept happening. You know, after we went into Lithopolis, 6 months later, we did another campaign. I thought, we got to expand. We were out of room, and people gave. We had people that stepped up and gave huge check. I remember one family, we didn't have the money. We did a campaign. We had a prayer meeting. We had to call everybody together. We were like, we got to pray because we were over $75,000 short that we needed for that next phase. And we didn't know. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Come on, just come to the church and pray. I don't know what's going to happen. When we got done with that, a family came up to me. I didn't even really know them at the time. They said, how much do you need? I said, $76,000, something else. They said, we'll write you a check. I said, are you kidding me? I mean, this has been the story of what God has been building. And then when we moved into Lancaster and multi-site, guess what? People gave again so that we could launch a campus and what God's done and buying land for this. And then, oh, by the way, and then this move to this building with Build the House, if you were around for that, and you gave to that. I mean, people gave just so generously. And I just seen it throughout the years that something significant happens when you step into what God's doing and you sacrifice and you give. And so I wanted to take a moment today, and I want to say to all of you that give, you give weekly, you give monthly, however you give, those who give a tithe, those who give at the end of the year, we do our big end of the year, those things matter. And so I want to just say it just from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you so much to every one of you that give. Come on, we can just put our hands together. I know I'm thanking you, but. And I also want to say, maybe you're newer, you've been coming here. Please do not miss this today. This space exists because of people's sacrifice. And so maybe this will be just a moment for you to realize there's an opportunity to step into the journey, to begin to jump in and give. I love the promise. The proverb says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That God will actually bless you. He will actually begin to use you and pour a conduit through you. That when he can trust you with little, guess what? He says, I'll bless you with more. And so maybe it's time for some of you to jump in on that. But I just, throughout the years, I've seen people with radical generosity in their hearts. And then the fourth thing that I've noticed throughout the years is that we've been a church of audacious faith. Audacious faith. I thought about calling it scary faith, but then I thought that might be a shameless plug, and I didn't want to do that. I thought that'd be a little much. But when I do think about all those moves and all those things that we've done, I think about the audacious faith that we've operated in as a church throughout the years. And I think maybe it all goes back to really, even the beginning, it took a lot of faith to start it. And along the journey in 2007 in the fall, I was having one of my lowest moments, brand new in ministry. And I was taking a walk with God. I don't know how you pray with God, especially if you're frustrated and angry. I like to walk and pray when I'm mad at God. I can't sit still. I need to let him know how I really feel about what he's not doing. And we were stuck and things weren't moving, and I was frustrated, and I made this pledge. to him back in the fall of 2007. I said, God, I did not leave a career. I didn't walk away from a job so that I could just play it safe. I already told you about me. I'm wired to like move. We got to build something. We got to create something. We're going to reach people. And we weren't. And I said, God, I will go big and fail and go home. I'll go to another job. I'll go back to what I was doing, but I refuse to play it safe. I won't do it. I had a good career. I liked my career. Why did you call me away from that if this is all it's going to be? Because I have vision for more than this. And I said, God, if it doesn't change in 1 year, I'm out. That following fall, it changed. But it changed because of the audacious faith of this church. And throughout the years, whether it was Lithopolis and our small team and everybody just trusting that it's going to happen, we invested everything with that move, all in. We had no money to do renovations. We couldn't hire contractors. We had to rip up the carpet. We had to paint. We had to put tile down. We did it. Our small team, when we went to Lancaster, we did all of that. We set up, tore down. We invested. When we went to the mall and they gave us a contract that had a clause in it where within 24 hours notice they could kick us out because technically they weren't supposed to have a church in the mall, but they wanted us to be there. We still decided to invest $250,000. I'm still not sure if that is faith or stupid. I don't know. All I know is God did something huge because of it. And by the way, when we took a huge step of faith to build this and went from a mortgage that went 10 times and then had to open it in the middle of pandemic, I'm just telling you about the audacious faith that is the history and the story of this church. And you should know that if you want to be part of this church, because I refuse to allow us to remain comfortable. I refuse it. I really do. And that's going to be challenging because some of you are like, but I like this. Everything's comfortable. I like the way it is. I understand that. But this church was built on risk and audacious faith, and we're not going to stop now just because we reached mile marker 20. We're not just going to mail it in. We're not going to coast in. We're not going to play it safe. And so I want to just take a moment and say thank you. Here's why. I want to say thank you for allowing me to sometimes do what I think are possibly dumb moves, to make huge investments, to make course changes, to invest a lot of money and risk things for God's kingdom. That's not a small thing. And I cherish the trust that you guys have in me and how I lead this church. And so I recognize that you have audacious faith whenever you trust me and I say, let's charge hell with water pistols. And you're like, I'll go get one and I'll run into the flames with you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I just think it's important because listen to me. This is what today's about, is just pausing and reflecting and remembering God's goodness, his faithfulness, the journey. Because here's what I know. The moment you take for granted what God is doing in your midst, it'll be taken away. You know that same thing is true in your own life? How often do we take our family? Do we take the blessing of God, our health? Do we take things for granted? The moment you take things for granted, trust me, it'll be taken away. And so I love what God has done. Today is a day to celebrate the past. But hear me today. Don't fall in love with the past. I think someone needed to hear that today in your own life. It's great to have mile markers where you can celebrate the past. That's what today is. But don't fall in love with your past. That's dangerous. And I want to say, be careful, those of you that started coming to this church, maybe even recently, you might go, I love my church. I love that maybe you love your church. Throughout the years, I've heard that over and over. I love my church. I love my church. I'm glad you love your church. I hope you love Jesus more than you love your church, but I'm glad you love your church. I want you to love your church. I want you to love this community. But please, 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 whatever you do, don't love the church of the past or even your church right now. Don't love the way it is what I'm saying. Because if you wait long enough, it's going to change. And I know there's some things that we get really comfortable with, but I love the church. When I first came, it was like this, and things have changed. Yep, and they're going to keep changing. You know why? Because God is still moving, and God is still doing new things in our world today. And one of the reasons why the church at certain times has declined is because people have been too afraid to say, I'm going to break out of what makes me feel comfortable and I'm going to move forward into the new thing that God is doing. I came today to celebrate what God's done in the past, but we are not going to fall in love with the past. Because to do that, we're going to miss what God's doing. It made me think about the Israelites, the nation of Israel. They had all these stories that God had done in the past, amazing, miraculous stories of when he brought them out of Egypt and the miracles, and they were amazing. But when they took their eyes off of what God was doing and moving forward, in those moments, guess what they would do? They cry out to God and they go, oh, I remember what you used to do. So God sent a prophet, Isaiah, and God used this prophet to remind them, yeah, I did all these things. Yep, I parted the Red Sea, you went through on dry ground. Yeah, I did all these miracles. I did all that stuff in the past. And so in Isaiah 43, God reminds him, yep, I did all these things. Weren't those incredible, those miracles? And then God had this message for him in Isaiah 43, verse 18. Let me read this to you. I love this. Then God said, but forget all that. That doesn't mean forget God. It means forget the way God worked in the past. Forget all that. Why? Because he says, it is what? Can you all say that word out loud? It is nothing. Come on, let's say it again. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. Everybody say new. New. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun it. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. I parted the water and made it dry back then. But that's nothing compared to what I can do. I'm about to bring water into the desert when you need it. See, here's the thing. God was telling them, I did great things in the past, but I'm not done. And I'm still moving forward. And I've got more ahead for you. So don't dwell on the past. We can celebrate it. But that's what we did today. Now we're going to move forward. Now we're going forward into what God has for us. Let me just tell you, as I was thinking this past week, I thought, in 20 years, if God can take a few loaves and turn it into a few thousand people, I thought to myself, I wonder what he could do starting right now with 20 more years. Oh, I mean, we had 12 people and a building that couldn't hold. What? I want you to imagine with me. I just want you to imagine with me. That's what God was saying. God was saying, I'm not done yet. I've got more to do. I think about what Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, right? It says, God says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has any mind imagined what God has in store. God has prepared for those who love him and are called. Listen, can I just tell you, there is so much more ahead of us. This is not the end. This is just mile marker 20. That's why we've been saying 20 and counting, because this is not the end. In fact, I want to say for some of you new, this is the beginning of what God's going to do. It's the beginning of what God's going to do in your family. And I'm grateful for all he's done, but how many of you are with me? And we were going to imagine, we're going to dream, we're going to vision together that God is going to help us to reach thousands, to give away millions. Come on, is there anybody here that wants to join in on this vision? We're going to reach thousands. We're going to give away millions. And this is just the beginning. Amen, church? Amen. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to stand up. We're going to finish here today celebrating God's goodness, his faithfulness. But we're going to leave inspired with vision in our hearts that this is just the beginning. He's going to fill this building as he is. It's going to get filled over and over. And then it's going to expand and it's going to reach further. I can't imagine what this could look like 20 years from now. Have to bring me out with my walker and I ain't going to be that old. And they got just for men, so I'll keep my hair if I can, my color, but I just think about how big God is. You know, if you have small dreams for your life, then you need to tap into the really big God that has done miracles for the last 20 years in our church and maybe expand your vision a little bit. Because God is more than able to do more. In fact, there's a verse for that. There's a verse that actually, I think in many ways has kind of it's kind of been at the core of our church from the very beginning. It's a verse that I just always go back to, a prayer that Paul had that reminds me of what he is doing, what he's going to do, and the fact that I got to dream bigger and I got to have big vision. Paul said these words in Ephesians 3:20. I love it. He said, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably what?" Can you all say that word, immeasurably? Come on, immeasurably. "Than all we ask or what?" Ooh, I like that word, imagine. "All that we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work" where? "Within us." Within what? The church. Look at verse 21. I love this. "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Can I just tell you, what God has started 20 years ago is just going. 20 years and counting. And I have the vision to believe now to him who is able to do even more than this. This is just the beginning. I want you to believe that in your own life. Some of you are new in your faith, you're young in your faith. This is just the beginning. You have ups and downs. You feel like times you want to quit. That's okay. It's just the beginning. God has more for you in store. So don't focus on the rear view mirror, but look at the windshield. It's way bigger. God's got more. Ain't more? God's got more. God's got more. God's got more.
Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.